So your speech, what your speech is or what your word is, to be impeccable with it or to be precise in it, you'd have to identify who you are first. And that's a challenge that most people don't take.
Are you familiar with the Common Topics?
Common Topics. No, I don't know Common Topics by name.
Yeah, the Common Topics. This is something, well, classical education, I guess. It's a way to formulate what you're going to talk about.
I see them.
Oh, you searched it up.
Definition, comparison, circumstance, relationship, and authority.
Yeah, the claim is that this is a complete way to think about any subject. You pick a subject and then you can think about it completely using these five topics that are common to everything.
Okay, yeah. And it makes sense you want to define something first. So definition, comparison is seeing what it's like in the world.
And what it's not like, and to what degree is it like something or not like something.
Okay, and then circumstance would be where it appears in life.
Yes. In what is the past facts?
What causes it?
The relationship is more the cause and the effect.
Relationship is where it's connected to. Okay.
Yeah, circumstances is what is its past facts, its future facts, what's possible, what's impossible, what has happened with it.
Okay.
Relationship is the cause and effect, the antecedent, the consequences, contraries and contradictions. These are some notes that I took when I was thinking about common topics before.
And then authority, what would that be?
That would be like the testimony, testimonials, statistics, the things that...
Proofs.
Yes, proofs. Laws, research, things like that. So let's say we go through these common topics with precise speech, and then it being two words, there are two things to define.
Right.
Precise, precision, and also speech.
So where do you want to start? What do you start with?
Well, let's start with...
Speech. Start with the base.
Speech.
Speech is the noun of the thing, and precise is the adjective. The noun or verb, whatever it is. So before you modify it, let's find out what we're modifying. What is speech?
Well, it's what comes out of your mouth, which is a reflection of what is in your brain, what you're thinking about.
In the moment, or?
Ever, I mean.
Or continuous. It's a reflection of what's in your brain, but what's in your heart, and in your arms, and in your body, your whole self.
It's a reflection of you.
Right.
Your speech. When I was thinking about this topic, there's, you know, Miguel Ruiz's first agreement in his book is be impeccable with your word. Would you say the word is the same or related to speech?
So he's saying word.
Yeah, he defines word in the first chapter of his book as, well, let me see if I can find it.
Because word is who you are. The word was flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word is all being, everything that's there. So if you identify impeccability in your word, it's who you are. Still, he's talking about, has to be talking about the whole person.
Yeah, okay. So it was in the second chapter. But, I mean, he defines word in the second chapter, which is on the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. The word is not just a sound or a written symbol. The word is a force. It is the power you have to express and communicate, to think, and thereby to create the events in your life.
Right. It's still an action. He's still identifying it as an action to create,
to manifest your intentions. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are will all be manifested through the word.
Right. And I think that makes sense in regard to the word as a creating being as well. You know, the word being God, the creation is something we do all the time with everything we do as well. Jordan Peterson was describing that as the archetypical story that's repeated again and again and again in each of our lives. Everything we create, every word that we reissue is a creation from us. So it's a new beginning.
The word is a new beginning.
Yeah, it's a new beginning that comes from you. It's built from everything you had in your past and still rolls onto that. But it's what you formed up right now and expressed in the world for your intentions, for your expectations.
Okay, so is that the same as Jordan Peterson's speech? Like not speech, like, you know, what he's saying, be precise in your speech.
Yeah, precise in your speech. I think it's the same thing. I think he talks about who you are. But what I was thinking to be, well, yeah, speech is who you are. It's what you present to the world. And it's everything of who you are. It includes everything that you ever learned and what you've thought and how you've thought about it and your errors and your flaws. All of that is your feelings, which is a hard thing to identify.
Yeah. Oh, there was a quote that might relate to this from the Jordan Peterson's podcast titled Be Precise in Your Speech.
Right.
He said the proper way of manifesting yourself in the world is to ensure every word that you utter is as truthful and as meaningful as you can possibly make it.
He adds meaning to everything, and that was his first. I mean,
that's his whole thing.
The whole thing is what meaning is there in life? And Viktor Frankl, and he brought it from that, brought from all the philosophers he studied, is what's meaning in life. So make sure it's meaningful. Make sure your speech is meaningful, that it has some value to you, especially. Hypocritical, and maybe that's, yeah, that rolls onto the precision side though. I wanted to identify that if you're not displaying meaning, well, can you not display meaning?
Can you display, maybe we're always displaying meaning, but it might be a lie.
But it's not a lie because you said it. So what I'm trying to formulate here is, if your word comes out of you, if your word is everything that you are and present to the world, can you present something that's not you? Even if you're trying to lie, even if you're trying to deceive somebody, it's still you.
Yeah, you're still presenting what you are showing is still you. Even actors, are they presenting themselves? I've noticed like some actors where it seems like, I mean, particularly in children actors, where they seem to not be able to act well. They're just, or maybe they're trying to act too hard and the character isn't believable.
I've noticed that in, well, some of the lower budget movies, lower budget actors don't get into the character.
Yeah.
They can't be someone else. They're just reading words. They're just stating a line, and they're not being who they are. They're not becoming the persona.
Okay. Becoming. So like actors that are really good at acting, they become that character, and therefore everything that they say is a manifestation of that character, which is who they are at that time, right?
Right. So they change their personality, their life while they go into that. Well, I've heard Jim Carrey talked about that when he was trying to be Mal, but they never made that movie. But when he was trying to fill that role, he became that person, and his whole persona changed during that time frame. So that's the hypocritical, the putting on a mask. A true actor, and perhaps in Shakespeare's day, they did it well. That's where it came from, is you're a hypocrite. You put on that mask, and you are that person now. So you do become that, and I think the good actors, the real actors, will be able to do that. And it's easy to see the independent films, some independents and some low budget. I don't know, what was it that really shocked me the other day? I think the people on NCIS made sense. I watched that recently. They are who they are. They're not faking that. But that other show, the Japanese show that I watched, was a complete fake. Improbable that they could be saying the things they're saying. And true, there was a language barrier there. What was the, oh, Tracker. Have you seen Tracker?
No.
I forget who the actor is. He's the one that was on This Is Us. He was the Manny in This Is Us. But Tracker, it's a new series, was on Paramount. But as I'm watching that, it's a cheaper production than NCIS. I mean, he's a good actor. There's good actors in it, but he's not invested in the role completely. He's not this guy. He is still just the actor, Hartley, Jason Hartley.
So he is not precise in his speech, right?
The speech is, okay, so that's talking about precision. If you're not precise, you're acting like someone else. So in an actor's role, you want to act like someone else. You want to just lose yourself and become... The first time I saw that was Mr. Holland's opus, Richard Dreyfuss. In that, he became someone else. He was not Richard Dreyfuss anymore. I couldn't see Richard Dreyfuss in that role. He was whoever the Mr. Holland was. So that's the first time I saw it and noticed it. And I said, that's interesting that Richard disappeared. So that's what you want to do, to be precise in your speech and take the role. But in our roles, who I am and who you are, we can be too affected by other things that we become hypocritical to our inner values or who we are. I may just offer movie quotes as my persona, and that's not going to be good enough. That's not me.
Yeah. Who's to say what is you, what you are?
That may be, who is to say? By definition, who is to say what you are? What do you say?
What do I have to say about that?
What are the possibilities?
If you're a religious person, then you would say it only God knows, perhaps.
And I don't know if you're a religious person. If you're a non-thinking religious person, you would say only God knows, so I don't care.
Okay.
A non-thinking religious person, a religiosity person, a pious individual perhaps, would say all piety is, that's God's responsibility, so I'm not going to care for it. I don't care.
I'm not concerned about it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to even try to determine who's, what was the question?
Who is to say?
Who's to say?
Who you are.
Yeah. Who's to say who you are? And if it's God, if it says, well, it's not me, I'm going to blame God, someone else. Who is to say who you are? Say more about that.
Then you yourself are the only one that really knows who you are. But do you know who you are? I mean, you have to really sit down and think about who you are to identify yourself. Maybe a lot of people don't know who they are.
A lot of people, meaning probably most, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say everybody. Nobody knows who they really are, but maybe actually that's true. Nobody actually knows who they really are because we're all affected by our environments and our relationships. And
we're sitting on this smooth blue marble and it's affecting everybody. We're part of society and we're part of the wind and you're upset by a tornado or whatever is happening around you. But who's responsible for that? It is only you.
Only yourself can be responsible for that.
So who's to say who you are? You're the only one that can say that. And most people don't say that. Don't try to find out. It's easier not to try to find out who you are.
Yeah, that is true.
So your speech, what your speech is or what your word is, to be impeccable with it or to be precise in it, you'd have to identify who you are first. And that's a challenge that most people don't take.
Yeah, but it's an impossible challenge, as we've just discussed.
Okay, it's impossible to conclude it. To come to a conclusion would be impossible.
But the journey is where it's at, right?
And you know where you are today. I know that I just breathed out. You don't think about it. You breathe in, you breathe out. That breath is not the final breath. That idea of who I am isn't the final who I am either.
Right. discovery.
Right.
We are discovering ourselves. It's most everybody does not care to discover who they are. They are, this is who I am, and this is how I'm going to always be. But really, in order to be precise with your speech and impeccable with your word, then you need to always be on the journey of discovering who yourself is.
Right. And every event is going to change what your feelings are. So maybe discovering who you are from the inside, is that your emotions and your feelings? Pose that as a question. How does emotions and feelings have to do with?
And personality and your character. Emotions, feelings, personality, character. What else could make who you are? Your likes and your dislikes.
Your mannerisms.
Your mannerisms.
The nonverbal actions of your body movements. That's all truly who you are, is what you, how you operate with your senses, with the senses of the world.
Explain that.
What you look at is based on what you're focusing on. So you're looking at what you're focusing on.
Like, you are what you eat? Is that like that? You are what you watch? You are what you listen to? You are who you hang out with?
Yeah. You have certain proclivities for all how you use your senses in the world. That's how we associate with each other, is through our senses, through our vision and our hearing, our feeling, our taste, our smell. So that's how you experience the world. And some people won't smell skunks. Others will. However, it's going to affect them differently. They're going to be the type of person who doesn't get offended by skunks or by body odor, let's say, or something else.
Right. Even though that odor is there, it's just not affecting them.
Yeah, they're not affected by it because their personality, who they are, is someone who's not going to be affected by that. And what you see, so if you see someone, or let's say you're racist or not racist, if you're viewing people in a racist status all the time, and even inadvertently, that will come out in your character, in your reaction to something or to someone. The feeling, if it's cold or hot, some people they become someone different when it gets too cold, right?
Right.
There are people that are cold and people that can handle cold, cooler temperatures just fine, and they're relaxed, and other people get uptight if it gets colder.
Yeah. Yeah. People have tendencies. Is that?
Yeah. Tendencies. It's how the world's affecting them individually, is who they are. So that's their speech.
All of those things and tendencies. Personality, character.
And I look at speech being, well, speech is just everything you present to the world.
Yeah, how you present yourself to the world with your shoulders back and your head up.
Right. The animals are going to see it. The trees are going to see you. The wind is going to feel you as it blows past. That's who you are. That's your speech. So to precision in speech, to be precise with that, is it possible to be imprecise with that?
Precise is easily understandable, exactly what it is, not confusing. If something is precise, it's not confusing.
And yeah, how does this relate to us as individuals? Not confusing seems like it's someone else that's hearing you. So if you're going to be precise in your speech and you're going to talk to someone else, it has to be not confusing to them.
Yeah, this is how you're presenting yourself to the world, though. And so therefore, how you're being received by the world.
So is that the responsibility of the world and not you, your precision? The way you just said that, if it's how you're presenting yourself to the world and how the world perceives you, then that perception is totally out of your control.
Yeah, okay. So going back to what Jordan Peterson said, ensure every word that you utter is as truthful and as meaningful as you can possibly make it. Without regard, I imagine, to whether the world believes you or what they see or whatever. It's you're true to your speech.
As true as you can know for the time, and as meaningful as you can make it for the time, at that time.
Right. That is as true and meaningful as you can possibly make it. I mean, if you're sick, you're going to possibly...
Right.
The possibility of it being truer or meaningfuler is probably less.
and is it obvious? Isn't it obvious that you're going to be more meaningful as you age and more truthful as you age? There will be truths that you understand now end time, if you've considered it, and if you're trying to identify who you are, you're going to become closer to who you are the older you get and the more you study it.
Right.
So the truth and meaning that you had last week or 10 years ago or 20 years ago isn't nearly as true as today.
Right. It was as true as it could have been.
It was true for the time. So is truth your word? Who we are is progressive.
Right. Who we are is progressive, and our understanding of ourselves is progressive.
And our meaning is progressive also.
And I agree with that.
So how do you be precise in that progression?
Precise implies a fine point. It's like what a slice of the life. You slice your life here, and that is a precise cut. And you can now, gosh, this is hard.
It's who you are at the minute. At that minute, you're being as honest as you can, as honest as true to your, what was the other, meaning and true, as true to yourself and as meaningful as you can be in the moment.
In that moment, based on how far you are in your understanding of yourself.
Right. And hopefully you continue looking and trying to see what feelings you have and what your emotions are and what your understandings of the world and others around you. So precision. I think we need to term precision instead of being understood on and not confusing. It's okay to be confusing. Sometimes we're confused.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're confusing to other people.
Right.
If you're as precise as you can as to yourself, you might be confusing to a lot of people.
Right. And you might still be a little confused yourself, but you're trying to clear that confusion. So the attempt to clear as much confusion as possible would be precision as well, as precise as I can be. We can't be completely, well, what was it? No one is completely clean or pure. Nothing is completely pure. We're talking about to purify, to distill. You're trying to distill your character and your characteristics and who you are and your attributes to the most pure that you can be, but it's always going to be able to be distilled more, purified more.
There is no 100% pure version of you.
There's only 99 and 94 hundredths percent pure soap. You're not going to get to that full capacity. This is who I am. You can say that, but you have to allow.
And does the definition of pure, not the definition, the goalpost of what pure is, is that always moving further away from you as well, while you are trying to become as distilled as you can in your understanding of yourself? You're growing through that, and perfection is increasingly farther away
right
from you, because you're growing, and so therefore it's growing as well. That idea of what perfect is.
Perfection is a receding horizon. It has to be.
Yeah.
All the time. You can get something good, and then you can get better. You can get better at it. It can be done better. It can be spoken better.
And you can be better. And you can think about things better. You can treat other people better.
One thing Jordan Peterson, as he wrote his first book in the 80s, he was 20 years old, mid-20s. You know, as he's writing his book, 20s, maybe 30.
I heard that his first book was Maps of Meaning.
Maps of Meaning, yeah.
Is that true, when he was 20-ish?
Took him 15 years to write it. He started it when he started grad school. And I'm certain he started grad school in his 20s. I don't know.
That's crazy.
But 15 years to write it, he said he rewrote every sentence 50 times, at least. Because, and he said it just in this last, one of his last interviews, what he's talking about now. He says he tries to say everything he says in that description that he gave, be as truthful and as meaningful as you can. He tries to say things that he cannot break. But in reality, he's able to break them still. If he were to write Maps of Meaning again, chances are he would completely change every sentence.
He could still edit it.
Right. He's not going to change that book. He's writing other books. And We Who Wrestle with God, his next book, is going to come out. And it's going to come out. It's going to be whatever it is. And then it'll be in writing, and he won't work on changing that. You'll just move on to building the next thing.
Right. At some point, you have to stop trying to reach perfection.
And publish something.
And publish something, or, otherwise.
Or speak a word. Yeah, because we're talking about precision in speech. You have to not worry, because you can get yourself so tied up that I can't present myself to the world because I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And become a hermit, become just totally absorbed in yourself. That's, what was it, self-absorption. No, self-consciousness is misery. That's the thing I heard Jordan talk about recently. It's miserable to be totally self-conscious. And that's what turns you inside yourself. It says, I don't know enough about myself to present myself to the world. I can't serve. I can't be in the community. Can't help anything else out there. I can't even talk out there.
Yeah. So the definition, if we use the definition of speech as your whole self, then it would be impossible to have perfect speech. But precise speech happens all the time, as long as you know as much about yourself as you can where you're at.
Yeah, precision has nothing to do with perfection.
Right.
You could be precise, even though it's not perfect. Yeah, and I don't know how that works with science. Mathematics seems to be a precise, perfect 2 + 2 = 4, unless you can make it not equal that.
Yeah.
With other interpretations or other things that can come into it, where 1 = 0 and you can prove that with theorems. And it depends on this strategy. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 = infinity. Depends on what you're talking about. One idea plus another idea can be exponential. If it's just 1 digit + 1 digit, that may be 2. I don't know if that can even be defined as perfect and precise. But if you talk about a precise idea, ideas grow. Precise in your speech.
Okay, so how about we use a different definition of speech and have it be actually like the first definition of speech in the dictionary?
Which is?
What is that?
Verbal words.
Verbal words. Let's see what I can find. I thought I had an app for the old dictionary, 1829.
Do you think that that's different than what we would say speech is today? Maybe that's why they have those old dictionaries.
I'm interested in knowing. 1828. The faculty of uttering articulate sounds or words, as in human beings, the faculty of expressing thoughts by words or articulate sounds.
Okay, so articulating words out of sounds. And every language has its own way of doing that, or that articulation. So speech can be in every language, 170 languages or more, I don't know. Each language has its own way of speech.
Yeah. So communication, communicating your thoughts in spoken words, how to be precise in that way. What does it mean to be precise that way?
That definition, communicating your thoughts in spoken words, it would have to be your thought. There's all kinds of different persuasive speech or comparative speech or consoling speech. It has to have a purpose. Your speech has to have a purpose if you're going to try to precise, identify whether it's precise or not. What's the purpose of the speech? And you indicated communicating your thoughts. So if getting your thoughts out of your head to your mouth is the speech we're talking about, still you'd have to identify what your thought actually was.
Yeah. Okay, so let's assume you know what your thought was, you know what you're trying to say, and you're just having a really hard time saying it because you don't understand how to be precise with it. Maybe you don't know enough words, you don't know the right words to say. Like maybe you know words that are like what you mean, but you're, you know, like what I'm doing right now.
Right. And it's they talk about that all the time when someone feels something. They feel something, they have their testimony or something. That's something they need to tell somebody.
Right.
Okay, testimony. Let's say someone feels something is spiritually in their mind and they want to relay that to someone else and talk about what their thought was. Sometimes there's no words. Near-death experiences, commonly they say there's no words. I can't explain what I saw.
Yeah.
So there's no way to be precise in some instances, and maybe many instances.
It's undefinable in the words that you know.
Well, in the words that you know or in language is what they say. Like the color scheme. What was that podcast we listened to, Martha, or whatever her name was.
Oh, Mayim Bialik.
She said the colors. Yeah, in that one. The spectrum isn't just red, green, and blue. It's so much more than that, and you can't describe what it is.
Yeah, is it describable, though?
It might be in the realm it exists. So that talks about where we are on this earth, on this blue marble that we're rolling around on. We know what's here. We don't know what's elsewhere. And if you're blessed with an elsewhere thought, that multidimensional thinking or something, so if you can identify something, it's just not, it's otherworldly, or it's not physically anything I saw. It's got to be, I don't think you can be precise. That's my general thought about why everyone lies. Everything comes out as a lie. If it's imprecise, is it a lie?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Jordan Peterson would say.
Well, he says, tell the truth.
Yeah.
Or at least don't lie. And the don't lie, he identifies as malicious. Don't lie on purpose. Don't know that you're lying. Know that there's something true and you're just going to say something different. So don't lie on purpose. I think that still leaves open the fact that you're not going to be precise exactly in everything.
Right. Do you have a copy of The 12 Rules of Life? I only have it in audiobook, so I couldn't see with my eyes.
Yeah, I have it here. I have it here.
Is there somewhere like where he gives just a few sentences that's all about this?
In the 10th rule, be precise in your speech.
Yeah. Did he put it as precisely as he could somewhere that he didn't have to take a whole chapter for?
If there's a focal sentence, likely not.
I mean, it says it all in the title, I guess. Be precise in your speech. That's as precise as you can be.
Well, and he starts out with an example. He doesn't start out with the definitive. Let's see if he ends with a definitive statement. Probably not. He wouldn't do that either. Let's see where he ends. Confront the chaos of being. Take aim against a sea of troubles. Specify your destination and chart your course. Admit to what you want. Tell those around you who you are. Narrow and gaze attentively and move forward forthrightly. Be precise in your speech. Yeah, that's about as all you can do.
Yeah.
We did identify it. Chart your course. Be honest in it. Admit what you want. Not what you justify that you deserve, but what you want. This is what I want. There's a difference between what you need and what you want. So just identify what you want. Tell those around you who you are. So I think all the stories that he's come up with probably come to that thing. Narrow and gaze attentively. Narrow. So narrow your attention. Try to keep your attention focused. Gaze attentively. So that means noticing everything around you. Being circumspect. Understanding everything that's there. And move forward, forthrightly. That may be the best word, is forthrightly. Trying to find the right in your next step. Is that what that means to you?
I think so. Forward and rightly.
Just doing your best to find the next right step forward. And it's always going to be something else. It's not going to be where you've already been.
Yeah, that reminds me of the song that Anna sings in Frozen 2. Do you remember that? Do you remember that song?
I don't. I only know Cold. I don't know what the Cold song is. Whatever. What does she sing? What does Anna sing in Frozen 2?
It's called The Next Right Thing, I believe.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find the lyrics real quick.
Because that would be, and it makes sense. You know, we're talking about archetypical ideas and precision of speech. And forthrightly being the next thing, it has to be found. Is that probably what this circumstance is in the five topics? Is where do you find it? Where do you find it in the world? If it's a true topic, it has to be found everywhere.
Right. I wonder if that's in relationship, but it's in there. Like, where is this? Where is it in the world in relation to other parts of life?
Or if we're saying forthrightly is the main goal, say instead of precise in your speech, say be forthright. And that may be what it's saying. We go down to just one word to mean all of that. You should be able to find forthrightness in everything. The animal kingdom should have forthrightness. If it's a good value, a good character trait, plants should be forthright. I believe they are.
They must be.
They're trying for the next best thing. Even if they're living in a bad situation, they're going for the next best right move they can make towards the sun, towards whatever it is that they know, against gravity, because that's where generally the sun is. It's against gravity.
Forthright. I look up the definition of that just to make sure that we were speaking correctly.
Yeah, because we're just making that up.
It's just made it up. It's all made up anyway. We know that. Direct and outspoken, straightforward and honest.
So it doesn't talk about trying to find something. That definition just talks about what's past, what's behind it.
The archaic second definition, proceeding directly forward.
Proceeding directly forward. So that is somewhat saying taking the next step. But this forthrightly doesn't mean what I would want it to mean. I mean, in the dictionary I would create, I would want to make rightly point to the future. So you're trying to hedge your focus and your direction correctly with your stepping forward, not just stepping forward from an honest base where you came from. Didn't that definition just talk about the base you're coming from?
Well, let me read it again and then you can tell me if it does. Direct and outspoken, straightforward and honest.
Straightforward and honest to what? Has to be straightforward and honest to now, to this current situation, or to your stance where you came from, is the way I'm seeing that. And how come I always have to give the answers? Tell me what you think about that sentence.
Because you are the thinker.
You have an opinion on that definition. Is the definition forthright enough for you?
It does feel like there is more that can be said about it. Are we becoming more precise as we're discussing what it could mean? What is the meaning behind this word? Like, the dictionary gives you definitions of things, but it doesn't give you the meaning of words.
Right. And can it mean more? Can the word mean more than what the dictionary definition is?
You know that movie, The Professor and the Madman?
Right, yeah.
It was a movie based on a book, based on a real story, right? Simon Winchester, the main subject, or the professor in that duo, he wrote another book called The Meaning of Everything, and I'm a third of the way through it, but it's really just a story about compiling the dictionary.
And how they built the dictionary from that story, what I understand of it, is they looked in literature for the words and tried to identify the meaning that the author gave it.
Right.
And that's how they determined the dictionary and the actual definition now.
Yes, that's how the Oxford Dictionary came to be.
Right. And that's picayune-ish for another word that doesn't mean anything.
Now what we do, we type in the word into our search bar and it comes up with four words and then it shows you the similar words and it shows you the opposite words and you're just meant to derive your own meaning from this word based on all of these words that you hope you know. I mean...
And isn't that's what we're talking about, precision in your speech. This isn't precision in speech we're talking about. We're just talking about be precise in your speech. It's where you come from. Your meaning can be totally different from the dictionary meaning. And Charles Dickens didn't have the end all and be all of using a word in his novels.
Right.
He used it in a certain stance, and all other 30 authors that have used it in literature in the last 2,000 years, they didn't have the final word either. The final word doesn't exist any more than precision doesn't exist.
None of it is real. It's all made up.
Right.
As I keep telling James that. He asks me, how do you think we should, wash this blanket? And I say, well, I mean, this is what I would do, but really all the rules are made up. So you could just, as long as it's cleaner as it was before.
Green and clean. Keely came up with that last night. She's in this delusional, not delusional, but a disoriented state. And we're thinking that it's because of electrolytes, and she got dehydrated, and your brain does funny things when it's dehydrated.
Yeah.
So with that, she was saying, I feel disoriented. I feel like I'm not part of this. I can see that I'm part of something that's real. And this life where I'm sitting right now in this room is fake, is not reality. Kind of what you said. Nothing that we do is real. We're inventing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're inventing the meanings to these words that we're looking up the definitions.
And that whole movie, The Professor and the Madman, they're the same individual just trying to identify what words might mean, what they might mean, not what they do mean.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that. Genesis, where God was told Adam and showed him all the animals and found out what Adam would name them. There's not a precision. There wasn't a, even in the beginning, the way that the story is told, it was told, let's let you figure out what you want to call it. It's like you said, cleaning a blanket. Adam, how do you want to clean that blanket? And whatever you do is going to be fine. But clean just means something to you. So what does clean mean? I mean, dirtier than it was before or cleaner than it was before?
Well, I'm using my definition of your definition of clean.
Yeah. And so God didn't say, here's the rules. Here's all the definitions. He said, Adam, you figure out the definitions. Let's see what you come up with, to see what he would name the animals.
Yeah. So that is, that's all well and good. However, how do you help other people understand who you are if you're making up the meaning to all of your words?
To who you are. Yeah. Like forthrightly, how I read that now is different than Jordan Peterson wrote it. And maybe he has that. That would be another question for him. Did you think that talked about future events?
Yeah.
Forthrightly, stepping into the future. And maybe he meant it that way. And this is one way that, in context of what he was saying, it may change the definition of that word 50 years from now when the new Oxford Dictionary comes out with all of these adjustments. Jordan was able to adjust a word a little bit based on how he used it in context. But we all do. Our speech, very precise, is precise what we think we want to mean. Yeah. It's not that we're precise to what someone else said was the rule. I think that's hypocritical. That's the hypocritical we want to get away from. We want to be precise to who we are. And my wife has problems with that. She calls it tangents, and you're inventing new definitions for stuff that doesn't really exist.
Well, just reminder that it's all made up anyway. So
how do you get people to agree with that, though? What if someone believes Oxford Dictionary is the end-all be-all? That is the thing that you have to go live by. And so in the dictionary, it says this is the meaning. You can't add a different meaning to that word.
So the purpose of precise speech, the goal of it would be so that other people can understand what you're talking about. You say it as precisely as you can, then...
If you're a speaker, and if the speech you're talking about is trying to convey something to someone else, your thoughts or your topic, if you want to sufficiently cover a topic, then precision does mean how the receiver is able to understand and conceive and comprehend what it is that you're saying. So you do use fourth grade language. Use language that everyone can understand. And if you have to use a word that's more descriptive, like forthrightly, you have to be able to identify what that actually means, how you're using it.
Right. And you might have to just say to yourself, if I'm using this word, I've got to make sure that I agree with what the dictionary says it means. And because that's what people are going to go to when they're trying to figure out what I was meaning, what I meant.
Do you have to? So you're saying you have to consider.
Oh, no. You don't have to, but but maybe that's a consideration that you would make. You're like, should I use this word? And if I use this word, do I agree with what this dictionary says about it? Or do I need to write more?
that may be part of the 50 revisions of every sentence that Jordan Peterson went through in the first book, and how he revises a sentence now. There may be other words. I don't know that there are.
Yeah, he does say a lot of like qualifier things. When he makes an assertion, he uses like "in my estimation" or "as far as I can figure."
Yeah.
You know, he's very non-committed to convincing other people that what he's saying is actually the truth, because he doesn't know that
he's committed. Yeah, he's committed to saying, this is my opinion, this is what I've thought, I've considered this for a long time, but it takes, this is something that you should consider for 10 years
and probably longer.
So it's a thought that you and this is where I've come to so far. It seems to me.
Yeah, well, this is why philosophy is so fun, is because there's no end.
Right.
You can do it your whole life and never finish the puzzle.
Because it doesn't end. There is no finish.
Right.
And so precision doesn't mean it's finished. You know, the never, 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 never give up. That Winston Churchill's famous words. How many nevers did he actually use? There's probably a given number, but was that the right number of nevers?
Yeah, did he accidentally double negative himself?
Was it precisely the right number? Yeah, never, never. Is that a yes? Is that not a no?
Is that always? Never, never means always.
Yeah. Yeah. So did he actually say always give up? And did he even consider that when he was saying it? That's not the meaning of his phrase. Isn't how many am I using it? Am I double negativing myself? am I erasing the actual meaning? Where you could literally say, yeah, hey, Sam, depends on how many times he used it. So if he used it an even number of times, then he's saying always give up. He would have had to use it an odd number of times in order to be precise in the negative connotation.
And the only way to know for sure how many he said was to be there and count them in real time, because...
Was it recorded?
Now, if it was recorded, it could be edited to have...
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever the editor believes it should have been.
Yeah, someone would have edited one more in there to say, see, he actually meant positive. He meant give up. But he was precise. And when he said that phrase, when it was done, or like Martin Luther King, I have a dream. That was done in the moment. It wasn't planned for and worked on. What he worked on and planned for weeks in advance and months in advance was a totally different speech. When he saw the crowd, he changed it to, I have a dream.
That's interesting.
And he just started talking. And it was honest. It was precise in the speech that he needed to give to the community he was in front of. So I think that's important too. That's the way I understand Martin Luther King's story. Martin Luther King Jr. Was it Jr. that did that? I have a dream, yeah. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Out on the mall, Jordan Peterson talked about that when he's in front of an audience, that he gauges what he's saying as to whether the audience is engaged with it. He says, I listen. And he was silent. He said, see, no one's talking because you're with me. You're with me in this conversation right now. We're in the same realm. We're being precise. There's precision in that. It's imprecise if you're losing people and they're having different conversations and they're falling away. And you can tell that too, if you're losing an audience. So I listen for that. And if I start failing, I know that I'm not being meaningful enough with my speech. So precision, being meaningful and truthful. Either I'm lying.
Yeah. I feel like we only talked about half of what this could mean. And the whole first page of my notes in preparation for this conversation didn't get touched.
You already
because we jumped right to the second page.
Oh, so there's a precursor that didn't get talked about.
No, it was just like my first thoughts didn't get talked about. We just jumped into the deeper contemplated thoughts.
Yeah.
That's what we did. All of the shallow stuff got left behind and didn't get touched.
And is that appropriate in precision of speech? I personally hate small talk. It's all of that first page small talk.
It is possible.
It's possible that it's just what the dictionary would have said.
However, when I'm thinking about the audience of this conversation, you and I enjoy what we talked about, but maybe it's not relevant to someone else, which doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be relevant to them, anyone else.
It depends on what the purpose is, right? So, and that's clearly, I mean, where your speech, the purpose of your speech is important to consider. If we knew there was an audience we're talking to, and we could watch that audience and see what they need to hear. But there's not. It's just you and I.
That's true.
This conversation is supposed to be just you and I. It's not for them. If they want to hear it, that's fine. And they can see what they think about the Oxford Dictionary and whether dictionary definitions mean anything or not.
Okay. Is there anything else?
So we weren't talking about necessarily dictionary. We're talking about precision, so precise in the dictionary. Yeah, there's a whole world of other things, but I think we're okay. We can pull this together, and then it'll have to have additions to it.
Yeah, this isn't the last time we're going to talk about precise or speech.
Right.
Or self.
Yeah, let's end right there and then find where else the conversation takes us.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.